Life is a gift from God, and what you do with it is your gift to Him. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us about living life on purpose.
Correction shows me how to get right, and instruction shows me how to stay right. How many of you would agree with me this morning? I've got to have God's Word every day. I need to know what's right. I need to know what's wrong. I need to know how to get right, and I need to know how to stay right. And that's not going to happen by watching ABC and CBS and HBO all day long, but it will happen by opening up the Bible.
Few people have a plan for their lives. Most are spectators, watching their lives unfold one day at a time. As a result, many end up discouraged and disillusioned. But it doesn't have to be this way. You can live your life on purpose, and it begins with letting Jesus take control. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our series, Living Life on Purpose, will help you discover God's plan for your future and allow you to intentionally live the life He has created you to live. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Guarding Our Testimony.
Now, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 8, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Let's think about that for a moment. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Would you say that with me? Better is the
end of a thing than the beginning thereof.
Sometimes it's important to pull aside on a day like today and ask a question like this. At the end of my life, what is my testimony going to be? At the end of my life, what will my reputation for the Lord really be? Better is the end of a thing. All of us may have said, well, I had a slow start or I made some mistakes along the way. But at the end of life, we want to have a life that brings honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, many people are remembered even after their life by the way they lived their life. And sometimes they will place that memory on someone's tombstone or their gravestone. And I found some this week that brought me to think about their particular lives. One headstone said, "Rest in peace, dear cousin Hewitt. We all know that you didn't do it." Now, you don't want to end your life with people wondering whether or not you were guilty about something, right? Our family's from Colorado, so I like this next one. "Here lies a man named Zeke, second fastest draw in Cripple Creek." You don't want that on your headstone, right? And I found one other way you don't want to end your life, and that's from Harry Edsel Smith, born 1903, died 1942. "Looked up the elevator shaft to see if car was on the way down. It was." All right? Now, you don't want to end that way either. And so what we want to learn about today is how to end our lives in a way that brings glory and honor to the Lord. Now, a lot of people today are concerned about their identity. We're not speaking today primarily about our identity or our legacy. We're speaking today about honoring the Lord with our testimony. You ever hear people talk about identity theft? Did you ever see the commercials that were sponsored by Todd Davis, the CEO of LifeLock Company? And he would come on and he would say, "If you'll buy our computer program, we'll tell you how to avoid identity theft." He said, "I'm so sure that you can avoid identity theft that I'm going to put my social security number right here on this commercial." And he did. He put his social security number right up on the television. Well, I read recently in the Phoenix Times that Todd Davis has had his identity stolen 13 times. The Phoenix Times reported that criminals have obtained loans, purchased cell phone plans, bought gift baskets, and paid their electric bills using Davis's social security number. Now, I want to tell you something this morning, and I want you to think very, very seriously about this. Satan wants to destroy your identity. Satan wants to ruin your testimony. He doesn't want your life to bring others to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to challenge you this morning to live your life in such a way, both your life and your spoken testimony, that everyone who comes in contact with you will know that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Now think about it. Think about some of those in the New Testament. In your notes, I've listed some of the illustrations. Think about the church at Antioch, Acts 11, 26. And the disciples were called what? Christians first at Antioch. Imagine if the many members of this church in the first century were to live in such a way that before people were called Christians, that people would, by observing us, say, those people remind me of Jesus. They are Christ-like ones. How many of you would agree with me? That would be a great reputation. That was the reputation at Antioch. Then there was the church at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians speaks of it in chapter 1, verse 7. It says, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God is spread. Listen, how about that testimony? They said everybody that came around those Thessalonican Christians, they heard about Jesus Christ. The whole region heard about Jesus Christ. You know, last year our church family went to over 500,000 homes in the Antelope Valley, northern Los Angeles County area, all the way up into Rosamond and Mojave, giving New Testaments, giving the gospel message. We want to have that testimony, getting the gospel out into our community. How about Paul and Silas? They're in Acts chapter 17 and verse 6. It says, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. How many of you would agree with me? That is a testimony. These guys are turning the world upside down with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, we have Timothy, a man who was loyal and like-minded with the Apostle Paul. These were men with a good testimony. Now, I don't know what they're going to write on my tombstone or yours if the Lord tarries in his coming, but I know I want it to bring honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to think about that this morning. Paul was thinking about it when he wrote this letter. As the Holy Spirit moved on him to write these words, Paul was writing his last epistle. It is a pastoral epistle to Timothy, who would be taking much of the responsibility of the first church and the first century church. Paul was in what we now know as the Mamertine prison in Rome. There in that prison, just off the Forum in Rome, he was spending his last days, about to become a martyr for the Christian faith. And he's writing these words to Timothy, and he's challenging Timothy to have a strong testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever was going to be said about Paul was just about over with, his life coming to an end, but he's challenging the next generation with their testimony for the Lord. And I want you to see a phrase that just grabs my heart every time I read it. Notice in verse 10, our text this morning, he says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. I want you to see those words, fully known. He says, Timothy, you know that my life was real for God. You fully know that. There's no question about it. Timothy, you know that my life has been a genuine life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what a great thing to be able to say right before you end your life, that my testimony was known in this world. You see, Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Let's say that together. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. So today, I want to give you three steps to help you have that kind of name, that kind of testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want a testimony that is honoring to God, I want to give you a way to accomplish that biblically today. First of all, you're going to have to build on the truth. You're going to have to begin with truth. You're going to have to let the truth of God's word permeate your life. Now, coming to the text, and notice if you would in verse 10, he says, but thou hast fully known my, what's the first word say there? Say it with me now. Thou hast fully known my doctrine. Now, look up here for a moment. Doctrine is being downplayed in Christianity today. Some movements are even saying, let's just tear down the walls of doctrine. It really doesn't matter. Let's just all get along. But did you know there is no real biblical fellowship unless we have common beliefs together? So Paul said, we have known the doctrine that has been preached. You have known my doctrine. The word doctrine here speaks of the precepts. It speaks of the set of beliefs. It speaks of the teachings of the Apostle Paul. And Paul's doctrine was well known.
You're listening to Daily in the Word with Pastor Paul Chappell and our series called Living Life on Purpose. The second half of today's message is coming up next.
Do you ever have trouble balancing all the competing demands for your life, from family to friends to church to career to finances? Balancing life is a challenge, and that's why I've written the book Stewarding Life. This book will challenge and equip you to strategically invest your most valuable resources for God's eternal purposes. You see, life is God's gift to you, but what you do with it is your gift to God. The book Stewarding Life can be yours today as you make a donation to the Daily in the Word broadcast. Simply go to paulchapel.com and order yours today.
Now let's get back to more great teaching with Pastor Paul Chapel.
Now, many people don't want to hear doctrine today. Paul the Apostle wrote a little later on in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2 these words, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and," what does it say? "Doctrine." Now listen to this. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." Paul said, in the last days, Timothy, people aren't going to want to hear the truth of the Word of God. Oh, they'll want to maybe have a concert. They'll want to have some psychotherapy. They'll want to have a good time in church. But there will come a day when people will not want to know the truth. But I want to tell you something this morning. If you don't start with an understanding of the truth of the Word of God, there's no way you will ever have a God-honoring testimony in your life. You see, Spurgeon said it this way, "A man cannot have an erroneous belief without being by and by having an erroneous life." If you have erroneous beliefs, you're going to have an erroneous life. You see, our beliefs ultimately dictate our behavior. One other author said, "If the theory is not correct, the practice cannot be right." So your testimony will not be right if you're not grounded in the truth of the doctrine of God. Now, there are many doctrines in the Bible, but let's look at two that are very fundamental to our faith this morning. First of all, the doctrine of the Scriptures. The doctrine of the Scriptures. And I want you to notice in your Bible or in your notes, there in verse 16 of our text, notice what it says, 2 Timothy 3:16. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for," what is the next word, please? "Doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect," or mature, "thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Now, may I say to you this morning that the doctrine about the Word of God that we believe this morning is that this book is an inspired book. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word inspiration is the Greek word theopneustos, which means a God-breathed book. My friend, this book is an inspired book. This book is an infallible book. This book is the very Word of God this morning. And we're not here to study Shakespeare. We're not here to study man's theory or idea, but we're opening up the very Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then notice it says in that verse, "and is profitable." That means it's beneficial to us. It strengthens us. And there's four ways that it is profitable, and I've placed those in your notes. It is profitable for these four things: for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction. Now, let me show you what the Bible will do if you'll get a hold of this truth this morning. You see, doctrine shows me what is right. Reproof shows me what is not right. By the way, sometimes when we open the Bible at church, we're going to be reproved. We're going to be shown what is not right, what needs to be changed. The doctrine shows me what is, first of all, right. Reproof shows me what is not right. Correction shows me how to get right. And instruction shows me how to stay right. How many of you would agree with me this morning? I've got to have God's Word every day. I need to know what's right. I need to know what's wrong. I need to know how to get right. And I need to know how to stay right. And that's not going to happen by watching ABC and CBS and HBO all day long. But it will happen by opening up the B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, the Word of God. So the doctrine of the Scriptures, you've got to get that settled. This is the authority. This is the foundation for my life. Secondly, I think this morning about the doctrine of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to get this settled in your life. Do you know that Christ is your Savior? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ alone to forgive you for your sin? Why should someone do that? Someone should do that because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth. He took the form of a man, but he never stopped being God while he was here. He laid aside the prerogatives of his deity, but not his deity. And when he died on that cross, and when the Roman soldiers pierced his hands and his feet, and when the spear went through his side and the blood came flowing down, that, my friend, was the atoning blood of the Son of God for the sin of the entire world. Who is this Jesus? The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 3:16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." Would you say that phrase with me? God was manifest in the flesh. My friend, the next time someone comes to your house with two briefcases and selling some magazines from the Watchtower, and they want to tell you that Jesus Christ was just another man who began his existence in Bethlehem's manger, I want you to remember that Jesus Christ said before Abraham was, "I am. I am that I am." God was manifest in the flesh. Colossians 2:9, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." John 10 and verse 30, Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." Now think of the characteristics of deity. When we think of God, what are the qualities of God? And when we see them in Jesus Christ, we realize that he was God in the flesh. Notice there in your notes the characteristics. He is Creator God. For the Bible says in Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." The word is Elohim. It is in the plural, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Colossians 1:16, "For by him were all things created." He is Creator. May I say, secondly, Jesus Christ received worship as God. John 20:28, "And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God." Oh, we understand that when Thomas said that, Jesus did not say, "Don't call me God." He received this worship, for he is and was God. And then he forgave sins as God. In Mark 2 and verse 5, he said to the man sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And may I remind you this morning, no church can forgive sin. No denomination can forgive sin. Only God can forgive sin. And then we know in Hebrews 13 and verse 8 that Jesus is immutable. For it says, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever." And I want you to understand with me this morning that you can trust Jesus in this life, and you can trust Jesus for your eternal life. And when you come to that place of realizing that you are a sinner and that you cannot save yourself, and when you realize, my friend, that Jesus Christ died and rose up again, and you begin to understand that he is far above principalities and powers, and that he is far above every prophet and priest, and that he is God in the flesh, then you personally can turn to Jesus Christ and say, "Lord, I believe that you are the Son of God who died for my sin, and I receive you as my Savior." It's a great day when someone accepts Christ as their Savior. And I'm telling you this, that when that truth comes into your life, and when Jesus becomes your Savior, then wonderful things begin to happen that will affect everything and change everything, even to the very end of your life. A few years ago, I had the privilege of taking a few days in England to study the life of one of the great preachers of church history, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And I enjoyed visiting his church and standing behind his pulpit and seeing his library and his home and the college he started in London. And then we had the privilege of going over to the graveside and seeing his tombstone. And I was curious to see what would be on his tombstone. And we saw the etching of his face there. And then I saw beneath his name the words of that famous hymn. And the words said this, "Ere since by faith I saw the stream thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains." You see, when a man's life comes to an end, it will not matter what he did for a living. It will not matter how much money he made. It will not matter how famous he became or whether his identity was stolen or kept. But what will matter is this: did he know Jesus as his Savior? And when Spurgeon's friends and relatives and church members determine, how can we tell someone who will pass by 100 years from now what mattered most to this man, they determined to put words on the side of his tomb that spoke of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Not far from that place is the church pastored by Newton, John Newton up in Olney, England, the man who wrote the song Amazing Grace. I was looking at his tombstone, and then I looked a few tombstones over, and I saw the tombstone of a lady named Amelia. She too had a song under her name, and it said, "Precious is the blood that healed us. Perfect is the grace that sealed us. Strong the hand stretched forth to shield us. All is well. All is well." My friend, with Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can face even death in the grave saying, "All is well. All is well." You'll not have that testimony at the end of your life if you don't build on the truth of Jesus Christ even today. You see, if you want the right testimony, then start with the truth of Jesus Christ. Now, when you start with the truth, that helps us to come to the second point today, and that is changing our trends. Changing our trends. Now you say, well, why do you speak of the word trends? I speak of this word today because I believe that our belief will determine our behavior, that the truth should change the trend or the way that we live. Does not the Bible say in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Would you not agree with me then that it is God's will that the truth of Jesus Christ should change the way that we live? It should change the trends of our life. The things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. The places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. I've been changed. I've been born again. My life's trends have been changed because of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what trends are we talking about? What changes should we see? Well, I want you to see, first of all, that a Christian life with the right testimony should be a life of purity, a life of purity. So come back to the text with me, if you would, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 10, Paul's testimony. He says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine," and then notice these next three words, "manner of life." He said, "Timothy, you know that my life was consistent with the truth. My life matched up with the teachings of Jesus Christ." The manner of life spoke of his conduct. It spoke of his course of living. A few months ago, I took some time for some rest and study, and back in the spring, and I was reading my journal this past week and some of the things that I wrote down. And one of the things that I wrote in that journal was simply this sentence: "I want not only to preach Christ, but also to live Christ in my daily life." I want not only to preach Christ. Moms and dads, whether you're a parent or a preacher, that should be our desire. That what we say is matched by what we live in our life. You see, Paul might have said, "Well, Timothy, you knew what I believed." But if he behaved in an opposite direction, then it would negate his statement of his belief. And many Christians today are saying certain things and living an entirely different way. In our new members packet, we often give a little bumper sticker that says Lancaster Baptist Church. And I have one on my car, and it's got the logo on it. And I think it's kind of nice looking. But I always tell the new members, now listen, if you're going to go to parties and go to the bars and places like that, don't put the bumper sticker on your car.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Dr. Chappell has written a companion book to this series by the same title, Stewarding Life. You will enjoy this incredibly encouraging book. It is a wonderful resource as a follow-up study tool for today's series. You can find out more about this book when you visit strivingtogether.com. If you are interested in watching Pastor Chappell preach live during a Lancaster Baptist Church service, you can now log on to lbclive.tv Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11, or Sunday evenings at 5 Pacific Standard Time. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. That's 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at allchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.